If you have that in your Bible, you have a King James Bible, let's read together in unison, shall we? Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I'm going to talk to you this morning about soul winning, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. I cannot think, dear God, outside the King James Bible being the holy, inspired Word of God, a subject more important than what I'm about to speak on this morning. I cannot think of another subject that will change lives as much as this subject will today. I cannot think of another subject that will change eternities as much as this subject will be today. I know there's no way I can completely address this issue. I know I'm only scratching the surface. But dear Holy Spirit of God, please take these notes that I have, the voice that you've given me, and Lord, help me to proclaim these truths about the winning of the souls of the lost. Dear God, please give us strength, give us ability, give us knowledge, give us boldness, but above all, give us souls. Bless. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you know, we buried Bill Mallow this week, probably the best soul winner our church had. For the last few years, a man who was not afraid, even though he told you he was afraid, he was not afraid to go up to anybody and witness and give them the gospel. He didn't care what station in life they were. He didn't care how well-dressed they were. He didn't care how poor they were. He didn't care what color they were. He didn't care what their disabilities were. Bill Mallow cared about the soul of every individual. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about this subject. I believe, listen to me good, the most important thing you will ever do in your entire life. I've said before, and I'll say this again, the most important thing you will ever believe is that this King James Bible of 1611 is the inspired Word of God. That is the most important thing you will ever believe. The most important thing you will ever do is win people to Jesus Christ. The only reason God left you here on this earth after salvation is to tell others about Jesus Christ and win others to Jesus Christ. Too often we get caught up in fellowships. We get caught up in our singing. We get caught up in our Bible studies and what I call false worshiping. You cannot worship God, listen to me good, in a church service. Right. Worship is not a corporate thing. Worship is an individual thing. You worship God better at home by yourself in a prayer closet. There's no such thing as a worship leader. That is a false name, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody can lead somebody into worship. And the one thing that we are missing in our country and in our churches and in our families and our individual lives today is we are missing the individual responsibility that every single person has to win souls. It is not the preacher's job. It is not the pastor's job. It is not the deacon's job. It is not the Sunday school teacher's job. It is everybody's job to win souls. When you believe that there's a higher class of religious leaders than the lower class of religious followers, that is nothing more than Catholicism, Nicolaitism in the Word of God in Revelation that God hates. There's no such thing in the Bible concerning clergy and laity. That's Catholicism that we have swallowed hook, line, and sinker to think that we are supposed to have a hired, H-I-R-E-D, religious group of people that do the religious work, like pastors or ministers or missionaries. No, all of us are supposed to do soul winning. All of us are supposed to witness, and all of us are supposed to give the gospel to everybody we can. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you this morning about. My Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise, because you realize that is the only thing that you're going to take with you to heaven. You're not going to take your house. You're not going to take your car. You're not going to take your money. You're not going to take your clothes. You're not going to take your education. You're not going to take your diplomas. You're not going to take your certificates. You're not going to take anything else with you except souls, ladies and gentlemen. The only thing that gets to heaven, listen to me good, are souls. And the bottom line is who you have personally witnessed to and led to Jesus Christ. Glory to God that I think at this time we support 10 missionaries, amen? And we collectively, together, corporately, as a body, give and thank God for those who give and tithe and sacrifice so that we can support missionaries, amen? Like Brother Tim's in Burma for these weeks, amen? And I read the email he sent Wednesday night, but he appreciates the help that our church is to help him get to Burma, amen, as we are trying to help other missionaries in foreign countries get the gospel to the world. That's good because God's going to count it to your account at the judgment that we've given for missions, amen. I'm not discounting that. What I am talking about this morning, though, is your individual personal responsibility that you have before a holy God for you to win souls. Because when you realize that you have that individual responsibility, then you realize the most important thing in your life is not the idiot box. It's not your hobbies. It's not your internet. The most important thing you'll ever do is win people to Jesus Christ. Nothing else is more important than that. Whatever you think you're going to do in life, nothing is more important than winning people to Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. We have too many people coming to church, but not living for God and going soul winning. You won't find anywhere in the Bible that says, get together inside a building somewhere, put up a sign outside, and wait for people to come to you. But if you read the book of Acts, everywhere it tells God's people to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To Matthew 28, Mark 16, and all through the book of Acts, that we're supposed to go to every person and share the gospel to them. And try to win them. It's not for trying to put people in a church building. It's not just trying to build a church membership. It's trying to get people saved from hell. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now I got to tell you something. I got saved in 1978, November 1978, probably 35 years right before Bill went to heaven. Amen. And I did not go to my first pastor school, Dr. Jack Hiles, until 1986, March. So you're talking about a good 7 or 8 years. I lived a backslidden, comfortable zone, lukewarm Christianity for those 7 years. And I was growing from when I got saved until 1986. I'm not saying I wasn't growing. I learned about the King James Bible issue before that, and I learned about some separation things. I did learn about getting people saved, and I went to church in North Carolina. We had a bus ministry, and I helped in the Sunday school and stuff like that. And I'm not saying I wasn't involved, but I was gradually growing. And I got to the point where I was comfortable. When I got out of the Marine Corps, we moved back to New Jersey. Got my first court reporting good job, I guess. Not my first job, but a good job. And started to make some good money, you know, settled down. My wife had two girls at the time and went to what I thought was a pretty good church, you know. Then I went to my first pastor school, 1986, Dr. Jack Hiles. And I sat on the first row of the balcony there. And I'm talking 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people in attendance, and you know, a conference for preachers and missionaries and evangelists and workers of God. And I literally sat in the first row and I cried like a baby. And God broke my heart that week, March 1986. And I realized for the first time in my life that I was just wasting my life. That the things that I was doing was in vain. The priorities that I had in life, as long as I went to church once in a while, or most of the time, because I never missed church anyway, even then, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, as long as I was tithing and enjoying life, that it was okay because I was doing now what I consider the bare minimum. I thought that, you know, what else do you want from me? Not until I got to pastor school and Dr. Hiles preached and really ripped my face off and showed me how shallow my Christianity was, did I really decide to give the rest of my life for Jesus Christ. I got saved in 1978, but I didn't give my life to Jesus Christ and give my heart to Jesus Christ until March of 1986, and that's why I moved up here of January 1 of 87 to start Grace Baptist Church of the Boys Club. Not because, listen to me good, I went to a Bible college. Not because of anything else, but because I was really convicted that I was doing absolutely nothing for God when it came to the winning of souls. And I've tried the dead level best. I'm not saying I'm perfect. And I'm not saying I've done all I could. And I'm not saying I haven't made my fair share of mistakes. And I'm not saying I haven't needlessly chased people away from church, unfortunately. But I can tell you this much. I've tried to do my dead level best to tell everybody I can about Jesus Christ. And you may think I've gone overboard sometimes in my sermons. And you may think I'm too nitpicky, too narrow-minded. I'm about that narrow-minded right there. Right there. And you may think that, you know, that that's just my opinion about things. And you think I'm too strict, you know. You think I'm a dictator sometimes. I understand that. But that's because you live in a country and you've been hanging around what you think is called Christianity with a bunch of evangelicals, charismatic, Pentecostal people who do not believe what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. They're talking about church. They're talking about kingdom building. That's Catholicism, that we're trying to build a one-world government, a one-world religion for Satan, for the Antichrist. When you hear these charismatics and you hear these Pentecostals talk about kingdom building, they're talking about building the one-world government and one-world religion that the Antichrist is going to take over one day. I'm not trying to build a kingdom. I'm trying to get people saved from hell. Acts chapter number 1, you know what it did to me? Verse number 8. Acts 1 verse 8, it cleaned me up. Nothing like soul winning, listen to me good, will clean up your life like soul winning will. Nothing. I mean, reading the Bible will clean you up. The Bible says it'll clean you. God said that. Jesus said that. But not until you meet people where they're at will you realize how grateful you should be to God. Now when you realize people who are down and out, who lost everything, and you see the results of sin, and you see what happens to a life and a family and an individual after sin and whiskey and liquor and gambling and divorce, and you see people who hated God and didn't want the preaching of the Word of God, when you see the end results of that sin, you're going to say, thank God I'm saved, amen. Thank God I got a Bible, amen. Because people are hurting today and they need Jesus Christ. And until you get up out of your pew and you go to where they're at and where they're hurting, you will not know what I'm talking about. You're still on this side, listen to me good, of the promised land. You have not crossed over to the promised land. You just can hear about how big the fruit is and over there. And you can hear about how the blessings of the promised land are and the land flows with milk and honey. Until you are willing to face the giants in your life and overcome them and cross over to the promised land where the giants are, then you will receive the blessings and the power of God, ladies and gentlemen. People do not have boldness today because they don't care about souls. People don't understand anything about holiness today because they don't care about souls. They don't care about the righteousness of God because they don't care about souls. People care about their evangelical churches and follow a Billy Graham gospel that doesn't believe in a hell. How can somebody be saved if they don't believe that there's a place called hell, ladies and gentlemen? When Billy Graham says he doesn't believe that there's fire in hell, how in the world can evangelicalism follow that kind of false prophet? You do not ask Jesus Christ to save your soul or come into your heart to have a better life. You won't find that in the Bible anywhere. Surely the Apostle Paul did not have a better life because he had Jesus as Savior. Surely John the Baptist did not have a better life because he had Jesus as his Savior. Surely all the apostles that were persecuted, crucified, and had spears run through them for preaching the gospel did not have a better life for having Jesus in their life. But they did that which was right. And we are commanded to get the gospel to everybody. Amen. My Bible says you shall receive power. That's why most of these pastors or pastorettes are spineless, ladies and gentlemen. And now men are flocking to hear women preachers. You know how disgusting that is? Men are going to hear Joyce Myers and all these other women preachers. That tells you how spineless the men are. You go to a church with a woman as a pastor or pastorette, God have mercy on your soul, man. God pity you. You don't even know the first thing about 1 Corinthians 14. These people think they're smarter than God. Psalm 126. I could quote these this morning. I could have written these down, but I want everybody to see them with their God-given eyeball. Psalm 126, verse number 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth. Our big churches, our mega churches in America are more concerned about their glass cathedrals and their multi-million dollar buildings and their gymnasiums and workout rooms and how they can attract the 20-somethings and the singles and the teenagers and the kids. They have these big playrooms. My Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Well, because they don't have the word of God, they don't have the power of God, they have to attract people with a rock and roll band, ladies and gentlemen. They have to invite people to their religious services some other means other than preaching the gospel. My Bible says that if we were to go forth and weep and bear the King James Bible, my Bible says without a doubt, we will come back again rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us, ladies and gentlemen. That is for you individually, not for us just collectively. That means if you believe what God said this morning about he that winneth souls is wise, you figured out the most important thing is somebody getting saved from hell. Let me ask you a question. Hey, you boys and girls and you teenagers going to school, have you ever one time witnessed the classmates, students, your teachers, your counselors? Have you ever one time witnessed to your coworkers? Have you ever one time witnessed to your family where they're going to spend eternity when they die? Amen. Have you ever tried to witness to anybody, a stranger on a street corner, and give them a gospel tract and try to talk to them about where they're going to go when they die? People don't want to talk about it today. They say, oh, I don't. That's a very personal question. Yeah, it's a very personal question. It's the most important question. Where are you going to go when you die? The reason people do not want to answer that is because they don't know where they're going to go when they die, and they're too distraught to even broach the subject. They have to think about death and where are they going to go when they die. Hey, I got news for you. You're going to die one day. Right. And you're going to stand before a holy God one day and you will give an account. And you're going to find out how vain your life was. If you're lost, you're going to realize you wasted your entire life doing absolutely nothing for God. If you're saved, you listen to me good, you're going to give an account for the vanity in your life and all the things you chased after and all the things you accumulated and all the things you tried to be kind and helpful and be nice. You're going to find out how vain that all was when you didn't win anybody to Jesus Christ. The reason you are here is to win somebody to Jesus Christ. That's why you're still breathing. That's why you're still alive. And that's what Bill Mallow did while he was alive. Amen. Bill Mallow understood the most important things in life was the winning of souls. Amen. My Bible says in Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The reason we're not fishers of men because we are not following Jesus. Bottom line. Bottom line. Because if you were following Jesus, then you'd be a fisher of men. John chapter number 3, please. The Gospel of John chapter number 3. The Gospel of John chapter number 3. Now we believe in Calvinism because we don't have to force ourselves to go out and tell somebody how to be saved. Calvinism is easy doctrine for people who are lazy. Calvinism is an easy doctrine for people who are too comfortable at home. Calvinism is an easy doctrine for people who don't want to go out in the cold, in the rain, and the wind, in the heat. Calvinism is easy for those who don't want to have the personal responsibility that God has given to you to go out and win people to Jesus Christ on your own time without getting paid for it. We make a big thing about social workers and government agency workers and counselors and all these people and these workers that you think care about people. See if they don't get a paycheck for 2 weeks and see if they start visiting those people again. See how much they care about those people. They're going to find a new job if they don't get paid in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not saying they're not kind. I'm not saying they're not decent people. I'm not saying they're not friendly people. But they're doing it because they're getting paid to do it. You know what God commands us to do? Without pay, to get people saved. Without pay, go visit people. Without pay, go help people. Feed the hungry and clothe the naked. And meet people's needs. Not because we're getting something out of it, because we're getting a paycheck, and we act like we're helping people. John chapter number 3, verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Can you imagine Nicodemus, the religious leader, patting Jesus on the back, God Almighty in the flesh. Jesus, you're just so wonderful. You know what Jesus told Nicodemus? Nicodemus, you're going to burn in hell if you don't get born again. Yeah, that's what he said. What did he say? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. That's not baptism, ladies and gentlemen. That's being born again. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, not it's a good idea, ye must be born again. When Jerry Falwell went off into apostasy and heresy and said, well, the Jews are still saved even though they don't ask Jesus Christ, that's apostasy, ladies and gentlemen. That's heresy, ladies and gentlemen. Every single individual needs to ask Jesus Christ to be born again before they take their last breath. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as praying for the dead. That's a money-making business that makes people give money to pray for dead people. You won't find that in the Bible anywhere. That's people are concerned. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. You and I are supposed to get the gospel to everybody before they die. Are you doing that? Do you have friends? Do you have relatives? Do you have neighbors that are one breath away from hell and you not one time witnessed to them? You not one time shared the gospel with them? You not one time showed them from the book of Romans how to ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior? Not one time? Don't tell me you care about them. Don't tell me you love them. Don't tell me you pray for them. I don't believe it. Tell it to some evangelical fella who smiles real good. If you love somebody, if you're praying for somebody, then you'd witness to them and try to impress upon them their need of salvation, ladies and gentlemen. Acts chapter number 2, please. Acts chapter number 2. My Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Acts chapter number 2. Verse number 41. And there's a whole heap of verses I go through this morning, but I'm not going to take 3 hours this morning, although I wish I would. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that's what the Bible teaches. You get baptized after salvation. No one in the Bible got baptized as a child. No one. Everybody in the Bible that got baptized first got saved and then got baptized. It's not baptism and then you know Jesus. It's salvation first and then you're baptized. Parents have come up to me a lot of times and said, would you baptize my baby? And I say, I sure will. He says, you will? Oh, that's great. You'll baptize a baby? I sure will. As soon as that baby tells me that they've asked Jesus to be their Savior, I'll baptize that baby. Amen. Maybe you got an exceptionally smart baby, amen. Maybe that baby can talk when it's 3 months old or 6 months old or 1 year old, amen. I'll baptize that baby, but first I want to hear the words that I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, amen. When I hear those words out of an individual, I'll baptize that individual, amen. But not until then, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I told you before that I got saved in November 1978. And I didn't get my heart right and start living right for God until March of 86. That's 8 years wandering in a wilderness, ladies and gentlemen. That's 9 years of just doing absolutely nothing for God except playing the part of Christianity. Just going to church because, you know, you have to go to church. Dressing the part because, you know, you have to dress right. Amen. And read my Bible and praying. I'm not saying I was a heretic or stuff like that. I'm just saying I was dead. My Bible says the same day they got saved, they got baptized. 3,000 in one day. I said 3,000 in one day. That's kind of hard for the repentance works crowd to do. See, when the church I got baptized in, the Cherry Hill Baptist Church, a lukewarm, dead Baptist church, I didn't know it at the time, they didn't have a King James Bible, I got baptized there the spring or the spring of 79 probably, I'm just guessing, can't remember right now. I had to go through a class. I don't know how long the class was, 4, 5, or 6, or 8 weeks, I don't remember, to get me ready for baptism. And during the class, the pastor there that didn't use a King James Bible, didn't believe in separation, sat there in that class and showed me, I can't remember all that he said, and I used to watch videos of Billy Graham and other people explain some things about baptism to see if I really believed, to see if I was really sincere, to see whether I was qualified for baptism. My Bible says the same day they got saved, they got baptized. What you are accustomed now in today's average independent Baptist church, unfortunately, is now they say, well, you're not really saved unless you can prove you're saved. And then we're going to baptize you only if we really believe that you're saved. Like you have to do A, B, or C in order to prove to somebody that you're really saved. Or don't do A, B, or C to prove that you're really saved. And then we may agree to vote to get you baptized. You will not find that in the Bible anywhere. You'll find that in backsliding, cold-hearted churches that don't believe the book of Acts, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says that 3,000 people got saved and baptized the exact same day. You try questioning 3,000 people on how they're really saved or not in one day and see how that goes. See how that goes. We're living in a lukewarm Christianity because nobody wants to go soul winning. We're trying to preach preachy kind flowery sermons to keep lukewarm backslidden people in pews so they can give money and we can fill up the building and we can boastfully say, oh, we have more people than you have. Oh, we have more people than you have. Oh, we're running so and so. We have so many people in our church. This is how big our offering is, and we're not concerned about how many people we're winning to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd rather have a house full of Bill Mallows than IBM executives, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I'd rather have a house full of people that were concerned about souls. Colonel Larson sent me an email this week about, and I told him Bill Mallow passed away. He says, after he first introduced himself, Bill Mallow went up to him, you know, introduced who he was, you know, and after a while, he says, I'm praying for your family. And, you know, Colonel Larson said to me, he says, you know, I wonder, yeah, okay, this guy's praying for me. Who in the world would really pray for me on a daily basis, he said. But after getting to know Bill, there was no doubt in my mind that God answered my prayers because Bill Mallow was praying for me, he said. I mean, that's the kind of man that Bill Mallow was. Now, if somebody ever mentions the word gospel in most other churches, is that even a full gospel? They don't preach a hell that's hot. They don't preach a hell that has fire. They say, just receive Jesus or take Jesus and no damnation for their sins and for their life in a place called hell forever. No saving of the soul from hell. Just take Jesus if everything's going to be better in your life. My Bible says it's a decision and a choosing that everybody has to make on their own to receive Jesus Christ to save their soul from hell, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible clearly teaches that you cannot lose your salvation. And that's why a lot of people don't go soul winning, because they believe that you can lose your salvation. If you believe that you can lose your salvation, why would I go across the street and try to win somebody to Christ if I thought he could lose it by the time I got back? Amen. Well, any church or any individual that believes that, they're not going to go soul winning. But if you believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. If you believe that once you're saved, you're sealed until the day of redemption. If you believe that once somebody bows their head and trusts Christ to be their Savior, they are saved eternally, and they cannot lose their salvation, then you'll want to go soul winning more, amen? And you should go soul winning more, amen? And if you're not a soul winner, you are not right with God. If you're not a soul winner, you're not right with God. Romans chapter number 3, please. Romans chapter number 3. I don't care how much money you got. That money's going to burn. I don't care how big your retirement is, your 401k, your house, your car, your boat. I don't give a flip. They're all going to rust and burn one day, ladies and gentlemen. And you're going to regret all the things that you work for, try to pile up. And you're going to realize you're going to stand before God spiritually naked. Nothing to show for it. Not one soul. That was we sang earlier. You going to bring anybody with you to heaven? Are you going to bring anybody with you personally? Yes, as I said earlier, the fact that we give collectively, yes, that's going to be counted to our account. I agree with that. But you individually, are you going to bring anybody with you to heaven that you personally want to Jesus Christ? See, in order to be a soul winner, you have to be wise enough to be a soul winner to figure out how can I win somebody to Jesus Christ. Some of you, I know this is brand new for you. I understand that. Some of you, this is going to be hard for you. You've never won somebody to Jesus Christ. I understand that. But you can start, amen? You can start, amen? Everybody can start. Just stand, get a whole bunch of gospel tracts and stand on the street corner and just start handing them out, amen? Start handing them out. Somebody will talk to you. Somebody will stop you. You'll build up enough courage and boldness, you'll start talking to people, amen? Go with me or somebody else in church, when we go out soul winning or knocking on doors, you'll learn, amen? You learn how to ride a bike, you learn how to swim, you learn how to shoot a gun, hopefully, then you can learn how to go soul winning, amen? Romans chapter number 3, verse number 23. My Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all. That word all means all. All means all. That's all means. I looked in the Greek, it means all. I looked in the English dictionary, it means all. If all means all, you know what that means? Every single pope is a sinner. Amen. If all means all, that means Mary's is a sinner. Any religion that puts a pope up and say he's not a sinner or Mary's not a sinner, that's a religion straight out of hell, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody needs Jesus Christ, amen. The only person that's never sinned is God Almighty in the flesh. Jesus Christ, who walked the shores of Galilee, never sinned, never had a bad thought. He was God Almighty. I don't care what the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses say, amen. He's God Almighty. And Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are going to burn hell just like everybody else because they don't believe Jesus is God. They don't believe there's hell and fire in hell. And they don't think they had to be born again, just like most rich people. They have enough money. Don't bother me with your religion. Well, I got news for you. You're going to burn hell one day. You're going to burn hell if you don't receive Christ to be your Savior. This is not just another religion. This is just not another denomination. This is just not another flavor. No, no. How many people have you won to Jesus Christ in the last week? How many people have you won to Jesus Christ in the last 30 days? You individually. How many people have you won to Jesus Christ in the last 365 days? You individually.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you how much you're concerned about souls. My Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." My Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." This is why people want us to shut up. This is why they're calling this hate speech today. They don't want preachers to preach the truth. They don't want to feel uncomfortable about their sin. They want to go somewhere where their preacher, their religious leader, their Pharisee, their priest, their bishop tells them, "Oh, that's okay. You're okay. Don't worry about it. You better worry about it if you're lost. You better worry about it if you're not born again. You too proud for God? Why did Jesus Christ come and die on the cross if you're not born again. If you're okay, why would Jesus Christ come and die for your sins? For what reason? He came to pay for everyone's sins so they wouldn't have to go to hell to pay for their sins, ladies and gentlemen. That's why Jesus Christ came. Baptism won't save you. Church membership won't save you. Your religious good works won't save you. You being nice and kind and friendly won't save you. Your smiling face won't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save your soul from hell. I would hate to spend the rest of my life and stand before God empty-handed, having done nothing for God, having not led anybody to Jesus Christ, and show up to God as if to say, "Well, God, here I am. Here I am. I'm here." And the question is going to beg to be asked, who'd you bring with you? Who did you bring with you? Who did you bring with you? Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Verse 14 and 15. My Bible says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." These are the words of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you to either intimate or in any way say that there's no punishment or fire in hell, where people are going to die and burn forever, is to be completely contrary to the very words of Jesus Christ. And for preachers never even to bring up the word hell or to mention that there's fire in hell and there's eternal damnation, the fire that is not quenched, that Jesus said. We were knocking on doors yesterday, and Jehovah's false witnesses were in there talking to somebody. And before they were closing the door, I gave them all I could for my double-barreled shotgun, amen. I said, "I want you to know, Isaiah 9 says that Jesus God is God. And I want you to know, Revelation 1 says that Jesus is the Almighty God. And I said, I want you to know, Jesus said there's eternal fire and an eternal hell that you need to be born again. And I wouldn't listen to religious leaders. I listened to what God said instead of what a religious leader said. My Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And you're going to see people tossed into the lake of fire alive, burning and screaming for one drop of water, pleading for mercy. But it'll be too late because they were not born again during their lifetime. Because maybe some of us didn't care about our relatives or our family or our neighbors or our coworkers, or total strangers walking the streets of Troy, New York. Who's going to take Bill Mallow's place? Going to all the bus stops. Who's going to take Bill Mallow's place up on 2nd Avenue or River Street? Who's going to take Bill Mallow's place at the farmer's market where all the socialists and atheists and agnostics meet over there, and the tree worshipers and the heathen meet? Who's going to take his place? I know, you got more important things to do in your life, don't you? You got to run out after vanity, don't you? You have to chase vain things, don't you? Let's go back to Romans chapter number 6, verse 23. The wage of sin is death. One day you're going to die. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Sounds like easy believism to me.
Yes, sir.
Chuck Colson writes a book against easy believism because they don't go soul winning and they're following a Billy Graham that believes that there's no fire in hell. That's a false religion, ladies and gentlemen. And those evangelical leaders are flushing America down the toilet because there's no preaching no more on righteousness or holiness or on people getting saved and born again.
Yes,
now just come to Jesus with no hell and no fire and no damnation that you got to run from. As if it's like try Pepsi, everything goes better with Coke. It's a better way. No, it's not a better way. He's the only way.
Amen.
My Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 10, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. My Bible says in verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
It doesn't say you have to go to church to be saved. It doesn't say you have to be baptized to be saved. It doesn't say you have to give any money to be saved. It doesn't say you have to do any blessed good thing to be saved. You just have to realize that you're a sinner deserving to go to hell, not wanting to go to hell, and ask Jesus Christ for mercy to save your soul, and God will save your soul. It is that easy. It is that simple. It's God's people too stubborn, don't believe it, and don't do it.
Amen.
We're too full of ourselves.
Amen.
It's a period after that sentence.
Sure.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
We just don't want to find people that would be willing to listen to us because we're caught up with our internet and our television and our lives. We're too busy for this. The most important thing that you will ever do in your life, you're too busy for it. If I were you, I cut out some things in your life, and I make time to do the most important thing, ladies and gentlemen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Did you ever notice rich people are not interested in the gospel? Have you ever noticed that? And by the way, let me just remind you again that the Republican Party is the party of the internationalists that has destroyed America economically. And I'll remind you that the Democratic Party is the anti-Christian party that hates the Bible and hates God. And both of those rich parties reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, there may be a few that they're called fanatics in the right wing, libertarian wing of the Republican Party that are preaching and believing this, but they're very, very few, ladies and gentlemen, very few. But you ever notice the rich people, I don't care what their denomination is, they don't have time for the things of God.
Right.
They don't have time for this kind of preaching. They don't have time for the Word of God. They don't have time for the house of God. They don't have time for God. They're going to have time when they die. Yeah, they're going to stand before God. Yeah. Bill Gates may not believe it, but he's going to stand before God. Yeah. John Lennon, he may not have believed it and sung against it, but he's going to stand before a holy God before he gets cast into hell. Yeah. Yeah. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Yes, sir.
And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Yes, sir.
And base things. You know what base is? It's the bottom, the base. You build something on a base, right? You can't get any lower than the base. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Yeah. That's why God would rather have a Jeff Seeley or a Bill Mallow. You know what disappoints me? God's people taking advice from doctors and lawyers instead of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
yeah. You're getting counsel from ungodly, worldly people. You base your life on a horoscope and Dear Abby. You know how stupid that is?
Yes,
you wonder why your life is messed up. Why don't you start reading the King James Bible and see how God will straighten your life up, amen? Why don't you start being concerned about souls instead of yourself and find out where they're going to go when they die and try to win them and lead them to Jesus Christ like God commands us to, and forget yourself and be concerned about everyone else being saved or not? I don't have time for rich people, people that are full of themselves, people who are vain. I don't have time for that. I don't want to deal with those people. I have no time to talk with them. I don't want to waste my time with any of them. I'll give them the gospel. If they receive or reject it, we'll go from there. But if they reject the gospel, I have no time. I'm telling you, I have no business with any of those people. I don't want to spend my time with them. You let me spend my time on River Street or 2nd Avenue. You let me spend my time on Corliss Park. You let me spend my time Taylor Apartments, Grizzled Heights, in the projects, broken homes, drug infested.
Yeah.
See lives ruined because of liquor and gambling.
Yeah.
He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you're following Jesus Christ, then you will seek people to save. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. We're almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 15. Here's what Paul said. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Everybody wants to be an author and write a book. Everybody wants to get on the radio and television and get a following going. And send your tax-deductible 401c3 money to this address, please, so I can drive my Rolls Royce and have my air-conditioned doghouses. And God's people fall for that stuff. You know what Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers who beget children. I didn't write it down, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, I think it is. It is 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 19. These fake, phony, fraud religionists who get caught up in speaking in tongues, these charismatic and Pentecostal people, that's a fake, phony religion, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 19. When tongues was in play, when tongues was right to get the gospel out to different nations, not some gibberish that you don't understand.
Yes, sir.
They're lying through their teeth so they can make money off of God's people that don't know better.
Yes, sir.
In verse number 19 of chapter number 14, the Apostle Paul writes, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I wonder if anybody's ever spoken 10,000 words in one service in a charismatic Pentecostal church. That's a lot of words, amen? Of course, women should have no problem doing that. But Paul says, I'd rather speak five words.
Yes, sir.
Ye must be born again.
Yes.
Ye must be born again. That's five words.
Yes.
But today, people go to church and jump up and down. They listen to rock and roll, and somebody wants to beat the drums. They go, oh, ha, 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 and you think that's church. You won't find that in the Bible anywhere.
Yes.
You won't find that in the Bible anywhere.
Yes.
Smoking their cigarettes, half naked, dancing around, hugging somebody else's wife or husband. That's not in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. That's people caught up in an emotional religion.
Yes, sir.
When's the last time you individually won somebody to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And I'll show you why your life is messed up or not going right.
Yes.
I'll show you why you don't have the wisdom from God and the power of God and the boldness that we need. You think you need wisdom for... It's like a garden hose. How many people have garden hoses? You have garden hose? You know what a garden hose is for? For watering. I'm going to wrap up my garden hoses. I should have done it last week, but I've done most of them, but I've got a couple more I've got to wrap up. Put them in the garage. And they're going to sit in the garage till springtime. Can you imagine all the mildew and the dirt and the bugs? They're going to crawl through that garden hose and how filthy and wicked it's going to be inside. Yush. If you could look inside it, it'd be disgusting come springtime. There's only one way to clean up that garden hose. It's not to take a 15-foot Q-tip and put it down through there and try to clean it out. It's not to take a piece of cloth and put it on a clothes hanger, straighten it out, and try to put it down and clean it out like the muzzle of a gun. The only way to clean out a garden hose is to turn the water on and have the water flow through it to clean through it.
That's right.
Listen to me good. You can say anything you want. You want the power from God to clean you up? Attach your garden hose to God and the other end to where it's supposed to go.
Amen.
To water people who need the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And by you doing what God tells us to do and commands us, the power of God, the water that flows through us, will clean us up while people get saved. Evangelicals and all the other crowd today, They're not hooked up to the King James Bible. They have no power of God at all. And they're trying to clean out a dirty hose that will never be clean because they don't go soul winning. You need to hook up your hose to the Lord Jesus Christ and let God turn on the water for people to get saved. And then you'll see the boldness in your life that you never had before. Then you'll get a backbone. Then you'll get wisdom from God, because he that winneth souls is wise. You'll get wisdom from God. You'll understand what the things that are more important in life now and the things that are not important right now. Let's close with 1 Corinthians 9. Paul said that we ought to utter words easy to be understood. I think you can understand everything I'm saying this morning, don't you? You may not want to understand it. You may not like it. But you understand what I'm talking about, don't you? That if you're lost without Jesus Christ, you're going to burn in hell forever. You're not, no escape. No preacher, no priest, no money can get you out of hell. In order to go to heaven, you need to be born again and receive Jesus Christ, God Almighty, as your Savior. I don't think that's hard to understand. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, and we'll close with this. Verse number 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, watch this, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak, almost like Bill Mallow, huh? To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. 1 Corinthians 7 says the husband can save the wife, and that the wife can save the husband. Huh. Are you concerned about your spouse, your children, your parents, your sister, your brother? You individually. Are you concerned about your next door neighbor? Are you concerned about the total stranger walking down the street? Are you concerned about where they're going to spend eternity? My Bible says that Paul said, I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. The gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, says it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not church, not membership, not baptism, not good works. The gospel that we're supposed to preach is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not trying to get anybody to be a Baptist, to be honest with you. Not trying to get people to just come to my church. But trying to get people saved from hell before they die. He that winneth souls is wise. And if you're not a soul winner, you personally are not right with God. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. Christians praying.
To Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence.